CD 9.
You know, this was an extremely good idea, said the bursar, as tiny images moved in the crystal ball. What an excellent way to see things. Could we perhaps have a look at the opera house?
How about the Skunk Club in Brewer Street, said the senior wrangler.
Why, said the bursar.
Just a thought, said the senior wrangler quickly. I've never been in there at all, in any way, you understand?
We really shouldn't be doing this, said the lecturer in recent runes. It's really not a proper use of a magic crystal.
I can't think of a better use of a magic crystal, said the dean, than to see people playing music with rocks in.
The Duckman, Coffin Henry, Arnold Sideways, Foul Old Ron, and Foul Old Ron's Smell, and Foul Old Ron's Dog, ambled around the edges of the crowd. Pickings had been particularly good. They always were when Dibbler's hot dogs were on sale. There were some things people wouldn't even eat under the influence of music with rocks in. There were some things even mustard couldn't disguise. Arnold gathered up the scraps and put them in a basket on his trolley. There was going to be the prince of a primal soup under the bridge tonight. The music had poured over them. They ignored it. Music with rocks in was the stuff of dreams, and there were no dreams under the bridge. Then they'd stopped and listened, as new music poured out over the park and took every man and woman and thing by the hand and showed him or her or it the way home. The beggars stood and listened, mouths open. Someone looking from face to face, as if anyone did look at the invisible beggars, would have had to turn away. Except for Mr. Scrub. You couldn't turn away there. When the band were playing music with rocks in again, the beggars got back down to earth, except for Mr. Scrub. He just stood and stared. The last note rang out. Then, as the tsunami of applause began to roll, the band ran off into the darkness. Dibbler watched happily from the wings at the other side of the stage. He'd been a bit worried for a while there, but it all seemed back on course now. Someone tugged at his sleeve.
"What are they doing, Mr. Dibbler?"
Dibbler turned.
"Scum, isn't it?" he said.
"It's Crash, Mr. Dibbler."
"What they're doing, Scum, is not giving the audience what they want," said Dibbler. "Superb business practice. Wait till they're screaming for it and then take it away. You wait. By the time the crowd is stamping its feet, they'll come back prancing on again. Superb timing. When you learn that sort of trick, Scum, it's Crash, Mr. Dibbler. Then maybe you'll know how to play music with rocks in. Music with rocks in, Scum. Crash isn't just music," said Dibbler, pulling some cotton wool out of his ears. "It's lots of things. Don't ask me how."
Dibbler lit a cigar. The din made the match flame flicker.
"Any minute now," he said. "You'll see."
There was a fire that had been made of old boots and mud. A grey shape circled it, snuffling excitedly.
"Get on, get on, get on."
"Mr. Dibbler's not going to like this," moaned Ashfelt.
"Tough one for Mr. Dibbler," said Glod, as they hauled Buddy into the cart. "Now I want to see those hoofs spark. Know what I mean?"
"Head for Quirm," said Buddy, as the cart jerked into motion. He didn't know why, it just seemed the right destination.
"Not a good idea," said Glod. "People will probably want to ask questions about that cart I pulled out of the swimming pool."
"Head towards Quirm." "Mr. Dibbler's really not going to like this," said Ashfelt,
as the cart swung out onto the road.
"Any moment now," said Dibbler.
"I expect so," said Crash, "because they're stamping their feet, I think."
There was indeed a certain thumping under the cheers.
"You wait," said Dibbler. "They'll judge it just right. No problem. Ah!
You're supposed to put your cigar in your mouth the other way round, Mr. Dibbler," said Crash meekly.
The waxing moon lit the landscape as the cart bounced out of the gates and along the Quirm Road.
"How did you know I've got the cart made ready?" said Glod, as they landed after a brief flight.
"I didn't," said Buddy.
"But you ran out?"
"Yes."
"Why?"
"It was just time."
"Why do you want to go to Quirm?" said Cliff.
I can get a boat home, can't I?" said Buddy.
"That's right.
A boat home."
Glod glanced at the guitar. This felt wrong. It couldn't just end, and then they'd just walk away. He shook his head. What could go wrong now?
"Mr. Dibbler's really not going to like this," moaned Ashfelt.